Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is George Cummings. He is the creator of a product known as Buck Bourbon, and deer season is coming up. We're going to be talking about that. Good morning, George. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, Rick. How about yourself?
Now, you are in Kentucky, right?
That's correct, right in the middle of the state, central Kentucky.
You know, I was doing some research one time, and with the name of your product, Buck Bourbon, I think like 95% of the world's bourbon is made in Kentucky. So, man, you're in the right place.
You're absolutely correct, and all of that bourbon is made within an hour or less of my location where I live.
You got any property to sell? I just may want to move there.
There is a lot of property for sale in this part of the state right now.
How did you get involved in making a deer attractant? And then, you know, how did you come up with the bourbon angle in it?
All right. So I started outfitting about 15 years ago. And after doing that for a couple of years, you know, the only thing we are allowed to bait here. Yeah, I should start by saying that. So after feeding corn for a couple of years, I decided I wanted to come up with something that was better for my deer because as an outfitter, deer are a resource to me. So right. I needed to make sure and keep that resource, you know, plentiful, healthy, and basically where it could restock itself every year.
Right.
So I got to researching, and the area I'm in, just like you stated, you know, the bourbon capital of the world, the largest commodity that is available to me are these byproducts that come from the distilleries. And I've been watching cattle farmer for years, you know, feeding his cattle this byproduct.
This is exactly.
So I thought, well, if I could get the deer to eat that, then it's got to be good for them. Because, you know, starting out, I didn't know anything about it. So
right.
I started researching it and found out it's high in protein, high in fat, high in carbs, sugars, everything the deer need, you know, to give them energy. So then I hit a little speed bump trying to get the deer to actually eat it. The product comes out very dry. So I ended up mixing a couple other commodities with it and then a few other ingredients. And I was like a mad scientist in a lab. I didn't know what I was doing. I'm going to be honest with you. I wish I could say that I was a chemist, a scientist, or somebody that knew exactly what I was doing, but I had no clue. I was just trying to find something my deer would eat.
As long as you keep the proportions kind of, you know, like, you know that you got this many gallons or cups of this and this many, you can still it. Instead of just mixing it like somebody in a kitchen, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I did. You know, I kept track of every amount of each ingredient each time I tried it. And it took me a solid 2 years to figure out exactly what the deer would eat. And when I did figure it out, I absolutely hit a home run. I mean, we're killing 200-inch deer every year over this stuff now.
Wow.
And it started out, I didn't want to sell it. So I didn't even give it a name. It was just for my deer at my outfitting business. Well, all of a sudden, we started killing these, you know, mature 160 up to 200-inch whitetails over my product. That all of my neighbors found out about it, and all of my neighbors' neighbors found out about it. Well, then all of a sudden, they're calling me, you know, hey, can I get a couple hundred pounds of your feed? You know, it didn't have a name. They just called it my feed.
Right.
And after a year or two of doing that, it got to the point to where I was spending as much time making this feed for, you know, my friends' friends, my neighbors. I was like, you know what, maybe I should look into selling this. Maybe I do have something. So me and my wife sat down one night and we started just, you know, spitballing names and slogans, and we kind of had fun with it, honestly. And we come up with Buck Bourbon just because it's catchy.
It fits.
And, you know, it fits. So, and then obviously take your shot. You know, that's kind of our slogan, which has multiple meanings. You know, take your shot of bourbon or take your shot at the deer. You know, you miss every shot you don't take, like they say.
That'd be a tough call.
Yeah.
I am a bourbon drinker.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, from there, it kind of just exploded how quick it hit the shelves and just kept picking up retailers, picking up stores. And, you know, at that point, I decided I wanted to make a brand, not just a product that is going to help somebody kill something. I don't want it to be just about killing something. And what I mean by that, so this brand, this Buck Bourbon brand, is a lifestyle brand. So we have created products that will take you through a day in camp. You know, when you come to my lodge and you hunt with me, right off the bat, the first thing we do is we start at the coffee pot in the morning. That's our war room.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you drink coffee or not, but I do, and most of my hunters do, and that's where we come up with our plan. Okay, the wind is a southwest wind. We can hunt this deer with southwest winds, and that's where we make our plan for the day. So I have sourced out my two favorite types of coffee. We actually have a coffee that is it's a ghost bourbon blend coffee. And what we've done is we've taken a bourbon glaze that we coat these beans in before we roast them, and it actually completely changes the flavor profile of the coffee. If you're a coffee drinker but you don't like a real stout black coffee, this is the perfect coffee for you. You do not need sugar. You don't need creamer. It's just a real mild, sweet-flavored coffee.
And then, of course, we
go the other spectrum. We have a really stout, dark roast, our barrel-proof, you know, coffee.
Okay. I am a coffee drinker.
That's where we come up with the coffee. You ought to try it sometime.
Have you ever heard the term point coffee?
I have not.
Came out of the military. You know, when you're walking patrol, the first guy in line's the point man. And you want him to be wide awake, so you make that coffee strong for him.
Makes sense.
And that's, in my camps, that was what we call my coffee, is point coffee.
Absolutely makes sense.
Go ahead and finish your other products that you carry everybody through camp. This is quite interesting.
Okay, so once you drink your coffee and you go out hunting, you know, we have our Buck Bourbon ground blinds. And hopefully you finish your coffee, you go out and hunt out of a Buck Bourbon ground blind over one of our many attractants. You know, we have a supplemental feed, we have attractants, we have liquid attractants, minerals, blocks. We basically got you covered from a feed and attractant, you know, point of view. So hopefully you get to kill an animal over one of our products. You bring that animal to camp, and we have all of the processing equipment. So we have knives, we have vacuum sealers, meat slicers, you know, grinders. We have everything you need to completely process that animal. Well, then you enter the celebration phase of your hunt. So this is where we have all of our seasonings. I've sampled probably 80 different seasonings and marinades, and I've settled on the four that I like the most to cook venison with. So then, you know, you're going to sit around, we're going to eat the deer that you've shot with our seasonings, and we're actually coming out with our own actual bourbon, like people bourbon, to drink.
I was wondering if that was going to come out.
Yeah, that's going to complete your day in camp, going to complete your celebration phase. So I know I'm a very blessed man to get to do what I do for a living, and I want everybody to be able to experience that in some way. And this is the only way I can make sure everybody across the U.S. has a little bit of what we do. And all of our products are tested on free-ranging deer here in Kentucky at my outfitting business. You know, we don't just make something and release it just to try to make a dollar. You know, I'm not going to put my logo, my brand on it unless I know it is actually increasing someone's odds of harvesting, you know, that once-in-a-lifetime buck.
Now, when I first saw your product and I was looking at it, and I thought, here, you know, in Nebraska, we're a big beef state, and we have alcohol, ethanol plants, and they use a lot of that byproduct out of the ethanol plants for feed. And I thought, man, I wonder if this guy is doing the same thing, but getting it out of distilleries. And it sounds like what you're doing.
Yes, very, very, very similar products, actually. There is a little difference between the bourbon byproducts and the ethanol byproducts. A lot of the sugars get put back on top of the bourbon byproducts, and it actually makes it a little sweeter. And I've actually tried to do the ethanol byproducts, and I haven't had quite as good a luck with it. And when you put them side by side, you can tell a huge difference in the smell, the color, and honestly, the taste. And I'm one of those weirdos that I taste all of my crackers.
Well, you know, that's good quality control.
Well, I mean, I like to know, like, okay, well, the deer really love this. Why do they love it? Okay, that's super sweet. Or why do the deer love this? Ooh, you know, that's super salty. That's why they love it. And then that kind of allows me to, like I said, I'm a mad scientist. When I start making these products, I just go all in and start mixing stuff and then testing it. If the deer like it, great. Then I can tweak it a little bit. If the deer don't like it, okay, that's a scratch. We need to start all over.
I was talking with a buddy of mine about that, who's also an avid deer hunter, and he was getting intrigued with this as well. And he says, now, how can you tell if your deer are bourbon drinkers or would prefer a single malt scotch?
I'm going to say all of them would prefer a good bourbon.
Okay.
I'm not a scotch person.
When the testing you've done, what are you seeing for how far away can you draw in a buck?
I mean, I could send you emails and messages from people all over the U.S. that have experienced exactly what I have. We can go to a farm. And so in Kentucky, I've got about 25,000 acres leased. Not continuous. We've got like 48 different farms. Some of these farms are 50 acres. Some of them go up to 1,000 acres. And we have fed and fed and fed and then take in some Buck Bourbon 110 proof and put it out. And almost instantly, that first day, you'll get new bucks. Now, I don't know how far they've come from because, keep in mind, everything I test is in an uncontrollable environment.
Right, right.
You know, I don't know what the neighbors are doing. I don't know what, you know, they may be bush hog in a field that could affect it. So all I can do is tell you the luck, or not luck, I don't want, luck's a bad word, the experiences my hunters have had, the success they've had over these products here. We are killing multiple booners every year over an attractant. And I've tried all attractants out there over the years. I'm not going to mention any names. There's only been a couple that have ever worked what I would consider decent. A lot of them are just straight salt ingredients. And mostly what you see are your lactating does that are needing as much nourishment as possible because they're, you know, they're nursing these fawns.
Right.
And fawns come into it. Very seldom do you ever see a mature buck. And that's why I knew we had something when we started killing, you know, booners over this stuff. Because there's not many items or products out there that you're going to kill a booner over. I've tested it all.
I would assume from where you are in Kentucky, you've got a lot of timber, a lot of forest-type ground.
I would say 50-50.
Okay.
50% timber, 50% fields. You know, it may be pastures, it may be crops. We live in what I call the best part of the state for deer. Everybody talks about western Kentucky, but our number one Boone and Crockett County is actually northeastern Kentucky.
Okay.
So There's big bucks spread all across the state, but in the central part of the state, we have that perfect, diverse habitat for these deer. We've got the timber they can go hide in, but we've also got all these fields they can feed in. So I don't want to say there's an unlimited amount of food. There's pretty much an unlimited amount of food in this area.
We're similar in that respect as far as row crops that are here and corn and soybeans, stuff like that deer like, but trees are few and far between out here on the prairie where we are, and I'm interested in seeing how this might work for our environment. Nebraska does not allow baiting during the season, and I want to say it's like 60 days before the season. I'll have to check my reg book, but you have to pull all your bait stations and everything out from where you're hunting or be 250 yards or something like that from them. So I'm anxious to see how this might work.
I know it works in Nebraska because I know a lot of people that are using it.
And oh, good.
They're talking about how the elk eat it. And, you know, I guess, is it western Nebraska that has the elk?
We've got elk and mule deer.
Yeah, so they are going crazy over how the elk and mule deer are eating it because they say a lot of times the elk and a mule deer won't hardly eat anything. I don't know that. I don't have any elk or mule deer here. Well, we do have elk in eastern Kentucky, but not where I'm at.
Where I'm sitting right here in the studio, George, within 5 miles, I've got elk, antelope, whitetail, and mule deer. So
sounds like a good place to live.
That's why I'm here, partner. I moved here with that very thing in mind. That, and you look at the map and all the blue that's on the map, all the water for the fishing, and I went, this is, you know, if you're going to be an outdoor writer and radio guy, where else, you know? You got to go do this.
Yep. Everybody call it, what is it they call Louisiana's Forest and Paradise? It sounds to me like Nebraska is.
It can be. Our Game and Parks has a couple little, I'll refer to them as gimmicks, but they refer to them as hunting slams. And this is one of the few places for upland bird hunters that you can get four different species of upland birds. You can get prairie chicken, you can get grouse, you can get pheasant and quail. You know, three different species of doves, two different species of deer, elk, antelope. You know, we got mountain lions in the area if you want to do that. So it's a nice spot to be. And a lot of people refer to it as flyover country. And I tell those people, I said, oh, yeah, there's nothing here. Keep going.
I've only ever turkey hunted in Nebraska. Well, I did pheasant hunt once in Nebraska, but I've turkey hunted a time or two.
And we generally have some pretty good turkey hunting, too.
Yep, absolutely.
There was a couple of years ago, the National Wild Turkey Federation designated Lincoln County, where I'm sitting, as the top go-to place in the country for the number of birds we had here.
Wow.
So,
that's awesome.
Back to your product, how do you set it out in the field? Do you need any special equipment? Do you need to put it in a bunk or in a feeder or on the ground? How does it work best?
Well, like I said, we've got several different products. Probably our two top sellers and what I think, honestly, is our two best products. We have an attractant that's called Buck Bourbon 110 Proof, and it's available in an 8-pound bag and a 25-pound bag. And I tell everybody there's really no wrong way to use it. But now if you were to try to fill a feeder up, like a gravity feeder or a spin cache feeder full of that product, it's going to clog it up because it does have a pretty high moisture content. We use a liquid sweetener in it. And it's not molasses. Everybody thinks it's molasses, but it's not. But that liquid sweetener that we add to it, it will actually clog up your spout.
Okay.
So with that product, I typically tell people to mix it with corn, mix it with our other product that we call Barrel Proof, if you're going to put it in feeders, or just put it straight on the ground. You know, the deer will come back for weeks after that is gone because the liquid sweetener we put in that, it's also got minerals in it, and it'll leach down into the ground, and the deer will come back for a week or two after it's completely gone, just pawing at the ground.
I found a hunting spot years ago in eastern Nebraska along the Missouri River that back in the, like, pioneer days, there'd been an old smokehouse there. And all that salt and those seasonings had got into the ground, and it was a natural lick for the deer. It was a great place to hunt from.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've got some places we deer hunt that there's a parkway that splits the farm. And if there's a bridge, there's a creek that runs through the property, so they have a bridge. And when they salt that bridge in the wintertime, that salt drips down from the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
And there's holes. And this has been going on for, you know, tens of years. I don't know how you say it. Probably 60 years, I think, that parkway's been there. And there's holes that you could literally lose your truck in where the deer and other animals have got in there and just eaten that salt because that salt's there year-round.
Right. Now
our other product that is one of our top sellers is a Barrel Proof supplemental feed. It's a 16% protein feed that we've mixed a few other commodities with to kind of help trick the deer into eating it because deer do not like the taste of protein. I don't care what anybody says, they don't like just straight protein. And we mix some other stuff with them to get them to eat it, and we've experimented with protein levels. If you get much more than 16% protein, you cut back how much the deer will actually consume. You know, a deer can really only process up to about 18-19% protein anyway. And there's a lot of feeds out there that claim to be 22% protein. Well, they have to be or they couldn't sell it. But in my mind, you're wasting that protein. The deer's going to pass all that extra protein straight through. And you're going to limit their intake because they're not going to eat that much of it. we found out that we can get a deer to eat 10 times as much at 16% protein. All you got to do is bump that up to 18%, and you cut it in half, almost what they'll eat. So that's just through our – this is our own testing on free-range deer. You know, I'm not – this has not been studied in a school. This, you know, we're not doing any kind of high-fence studies. This is all on wild free-ranging deer. And this is what we have seen. So that's why we're doing the 16% protein instead of 18 or higher. Now, that is a feed that you can put in any kind of feeder. You know, we typically tell people to use gravity feeders just because we like gravity feeders better. A lot of times the spinning feeders can spook deer. If it goes off while they're standing, you know, standing under it, they freak out. So we prefer gravity feeders with our barrel-proof product. We pour the 110 proof straight on the ground typically. Another thing that we do in our barrel-proof product that I want to talk to you about, and we do this in our mineral as well.
We got about five minutes left, so that
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. Well,
no problem.
I'll speed this up real quick. Are you familiar with the benefits of cinnamon and garlic oil in the cattle industry?
Yes.
Okay, so you know what that does to the cattle.
Yep.
We put that in our feed as well.
Very good.
So the people that don't know, in the cattle industry, cinnamon and garlic oils are proven to reduce the amount of insects on the cattle by 56%. Now, we're going to try to study this in a lab. We're going to try to send this to a college. If we can prove this in deer, I mean, think about the benefits. You could potentially help reduce the amount of EHD deaths by 56%.
Exactly, because that's a gnat that gets on them and spreads that disease. That's...
So if these deer are eating this feed or this mineral that has cinnamon and garlic oil in it, and they're getting it all over their face, well, that's going to repel that midge fly. So you're not treating EHD, you're preventing it.
Very interesting concept.
That's what we're wanting to prove.
Very interesting concept.
Yeah.
Now, where can people in Nebraska find your product?
So we're in all Tractor Supply stores. We're in Walmart stores, Orchelins, Sportsman's Warehouse, Bucky's. I'm not sure what all stores you all have.
Well, the first three you mentioned we got.
Okay, so that's probably going to be your best bet to find us. Or you can order on Amazon or our website.
I looked through your website, and that is who's ever your webmaster, they've done a very nice job. It's very well laid out, very easy to follow through stuff, very easy to find information.
Thank you. Yep, we've worked hard on it.
Yep, you've done a good job with it. And you mentioned you can order it online, and that's a good thing. I'll have to check out a couple of the stores here in the North Platte area that you mentioned and see what they've got. And if they don't have it, tell them to get it.
Exactly. That's the problem. We're struggling keeping it in stock. The stores can't replenish quick enough.
Now, when you got into full swing with this, what kind of facility did you have to build, and how many people have you hired? You're being a basic American entrepreneur now.
When we started making it, I was making it in a tobacco barn with a cattle mixer. That's the honest truth. And it was me. I ended up partnering up with a buddy of mine at the time, and he was helping me because he had a lot of the equipment. Since then, we've had to hire actually the largest commodity dealer east of the Mississippi just to help us keep up with the demand. And I don't know how many employees they have. They have a bunch. It's huge. It's still in Kentucky, but it's southern Kentucky where they're making it at. And on my team, we have four full-time people just on the Buck Bourbon team.
Very nice. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you very much. It's been a dream. A nightmare at times, but a good dream most of the time.
I understand. Well, yep. I wish you the best. Like I said, I am looking forward to giving this stuff a try. Like I said, because of our drought, it's going to be a real test because a lot of the deer have moved from their normal areas, so getting them to come back might be tough, so we'll see.
Well, good luck to you, and please let me know how it works for you if you try some.
Well, we're going to stay in touch because I'm going to see if I can convince you to come out here. We can trade a hunt sometime.
Oh, yeah. We can absolutely do something.
All right. George, thank you very much for being on the show this morning. You have a great day and a great weekend.
You too, bud. Thanks.
That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.